Hello and welcome to the Decibel Boost podcast, the official music podcast of the website Surreal Resolution. I'm your host, Robert, and for the last fucking time, YouTube, I am not going to download some bullshit Bleach gacha game. Stop it! And with me, I have...
You know, I mean, the last episode of Quiz already, AMC? What am I paying my cable for if I can't get my last episode of Quiz? Come on already!
And...
I know what the price of PS5 is. It's 5 robs.
Wow, that's pretty fucking cheap considering I'm goddamn worthless. I have self-esteem issues.
Don't we all?
But seriously, it's weird that they wouldn't put a price on it. I mean, sure, I did see pre-order listings on PlayAsia, but you know, I'm not trusting fucking PlayAsia for reasons.
Yeah, you shouldn't.
So, yeah, this here is episode 180. So, how's everyone been doing recently?
Well, here's how I've been spending my extra time at home. I got guitar amp simulators for my iPad, an aftermarket Super Nintendo. I installed a virtual machine of Windows 10 on my laptop, and I'm still completely bored out of my mind.
Wow.
I would very much like for the smart people to finally get in charge so we can do what New Zealand's doing and have no cases in the last 3 weeks, which means we get sports back, which, as Roy Wood Jr. put it, New Zealand is like the class that got perfect attendance and got a pizza party. Whereas us here in America, we are the remedial class at the basement. All stiff and glue.
Yeah, we're...
Why can't it be like New Zealand? Why can't it be like New Zealand?
We're basically...
Wait, I know why.
Yeah, we're the country that hears a lyric like, fuck you, I won't do what you tell me, and thinks they're talking about, like, screw you, mom! Instead of, you know, figuring out that there was substance behind that lyric. Isn't that right, random politicians and people on the internet who are suddenly figuring out that Rage Against the Machine are political?
Yeah. Because it's about this time of year where we would have new NBA champions, we'd be deep into baseball, we'd be gearing up for football season. Who the hell knows what's going to happen now? But we can count on one thing. Rob Manfred is a numpty. Goddamn MLB monopoly antitrust issues.
The business of sports. It sounds like 7 different kinds of hell.
It most certainly is, especially when we can't have any, because we're all stupid and stubborn. And for some reason, a good chunk of people are in support of the Confederacy. Like that one guy who's going, I don't like the Confederate flag, but I'm not going to tell anybody they shouldn't fly it, which is, it's about one step away from saying, I don't like the N-word, but I'm not going to stop you, a white person, from calling a black person the N-word because, you know, my freedoms. And no brains.
Wait, spoiler alert. That person who's trying to defend the right to say the N-word has probably absolutely said it themselves.
Pretty much.
They just want to lie to you about it.
Yeah, everything continues to be stupid, and everything continues to be... awful. And I would like for the internet to stop crapping out. God damn it, Elon Musk. I'm still blaming you because it's probably your fault.
Everything bad in the world is Elon Musk's fault, and it always will be. But anyway, Mark, what about you?
Well, let's see. While trying to, you know, empty myself in this turmoil, I've been watching some Netflix stuff for the past few weeks. That show, Dorohedoro. Yeah, good show. Watch that shit.
Wild times.
Good. Absolutely, yes, do
yes.
it.
Yes. Yes, and also, Nakato and Noi, those are best girls. There you go.
They can kill you with their thighs, and you will like it.
Yes, I will. I finished that show, Shiro, pretty good, a good show, and, I'm also watching another new Netflix show. Well, another Netflix DreamWorks show, since they've been killing a lot lately when it comes to, you know, animation stuff on there. Kipo and the Age of Wonder Beast. It's pretty good so far. I know season 2 has been released. It's been released now. I ain't finished it yet. I ain't got that yet. But yeah, so far I'm liking what I'm seeing. Mm. Who knows? Might be reviewed later on my site if I'm not too lazy to do it. Or too, I don't know, just stay tuned. I need to do something in a minute. Yeah.
Yeah, there's all kinds of shit we gotta do. Anyway, as for me, well, yeah, mostly just hanging around doing the binge things. So yeah, Dorohedoro was pretty good. I finally got around to finishing Terror and Resonance after like 6 goddamn years. Now I can move on to Carol and Tuesday at some point. That new stupid buddy show on Hulu, Crossing Swords, which is honestly a better version of Disenchantment than Disenchantment on Netflix, although it's still not great or anything.
I did see Disenchantment once. I didn't finish it because I couldn't. It ain't that good. Sorry.
Yeah, aside from Eric Andre in it, the show's just kind of eh. But aside from all that, well, not really much. So, yeah, with that out of the way, we're going to move on to our usual business, starting, of course, with the new song discussion. As always, there'll be a playlist down in the description so you can follow along and grab some new tunes for your playlists and whatnot. So, might as well let Mark start things off here at the top, since this is firmly his camp. So, go ahead.
A new track, even though I'm more interested in the feature artist, considering the fact that, wow, Freddie Gibbs should be back again. Especially after dropping that album Alfredo last month, and how, yeah, it's probably gonna be on my best of list by the time. But he paired up with this rapper which got the funniest name, Spank Needy James.
Uh-huh.
Unknown to me. Like, he has a new track called Disappear, and I gotta say this, listen to dude. I don't want to say he mumbles, he kind of mumbles, but he kind of do, like, I mean, I'm not gonna say I understand, like, I do sort of understand him a bit, but it's like, yeah, it's very low rumble, kind of like, yeah, like, he's, like, it's not bad, just like, I don't know, it just wasn't feeling much of his verse, to be honest. I mean, it's someone that's like, it's okay. And I will say, yeah, if you know what person, like, yeah, I like Gibbs verse the most, man, because, like, he actually brought the beat on that. Which the beat is had this whole, like, electronic cloud rap sound, which, with a little sip, like, okay, it's interesting, to say the least, like, alright, I say Gibbs make the beat, can work with the beat. The Spank Needy James, on the hand, just seems like he's kind of offbeat a bit. Like, I don't know, kind of offbeat. Like, every time when I hear it, it's like, I couldn't tell because there's, you know, he kind of mumbles a bit. Like I said, he been mumbling a lot, but yeah, like, it's fine. I'm more into the Freddy verse than the main guy, which, yeah, it's like what it is. Like, yeah.
Yeah, don't really have much to add. So, time to move on to our next track here. So, of course, it's been 3 years, just about at this point, since the unfortunate passing of Linkin Park frontman Chester Bennington. It is worth noting that in that relative time frame, I believe just shy of a couple months before he died, one of his earlier musical projects, Gray Days, was ramping back up in activity and gearing up to release a new album. But then, of course, you know, the death happened and activity had kind of been quiet for a while until we heard that they are dropping a new album this month, in fact. The project's coming out June 26th and it's called Amends. And we have the lead single here, B12, which I'm not sure about the song itself, but I do know the video itself features appearances from a couple Korn members, mainly, I think, Brian Head Welch and... God, who the fuck is the other guy?
James Schaefer.
James Monkey Schaefer.
Yeah.
That guy. So, yeah, those two show up as well. And I'll admit, this is new to me. Never really listened much to Gray Days at all So my only impression is that, okay, this is kind of a shoegazy, alt-metal, post-grunge-ist kind of thing. You know, those kind of serene, moody guitar melodies, that sort of buzzy distortion in the chorus, a pretty constant groove, kind of no frills. The ebbs and flows aren't significantly huge. It's pretty moody and vibey. And, you know, while the vocals themselves have some grit to them, I do have to criticize a part of it that just kind of rubs me the wrong way. And that's in the verses, because a lot of the there are parts of the verses where there's this very childishly sing-songy melody reciting lyrics about how fucked the current state of society is in a way that reminds me of We Didn't Start the Fire.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah. What? It's kind of weird. It's kind of weird.
Just, you were doing so well with the rest of the song, but why?
Well, if you told me that this song would be a weird alt-grunge style of We Didn't Start the Fire, I wouldn't believe you at first. I mean, the song structure is fine, but those vocal inflections are just kind of weird and kind of off-putting in the fuller context. I get the approach, but the execution just didn't quite hit the mark on this one. I'm hoping this is going to be an outlier compared to the rest of the album. I hope.
Well, we got a couple weeks, so we'll just have to wait and see. So anyway, moving on to our next track here. So we got a new one here from our rapper Rico Nasty. It's a track called Dirty, and it comes from the soundtrack of an HBO series called Insecure, which I believe recently is either in the middle of or just wrapped its fourth season. As for the song itself, I mean, for a TV soundtrack piece, it's kind of what I'd expect. It is extremely repetitious. It's really more like just chorus repeating, you know, the title of the song and everything, with some, you know, bars in there to just kind of flesh out the track, so it's not totally 100% repetitious, but still just like 75%, you know, just dirty being rapped over and over and over again. I don't really have much to add. It is what it is.
Yep. I'd say, at least the song is like 2 minutes. At least it's go. At least it's like overstay its welcome. At least that's because of that. Like, yeah, the rest of it's like, he, like, his bitch is dirty. His weed dirty. His drink dirty. His sex dirty. Which, damn. That's all dirty things. But yeah, with the bars we got from Rico, which are still good. I did some lines that she brought, like, being honest with these bitches, you think I'm a pound, you was hating back then, and look at me now, I don't care what you talking about when I ain't around, bitch, I'm making moves, she got ass around. Well, okay, it's an alright short banger that's, you know, well, yeah, it's repetitious, it's just, you know, it knows when to stop.
Yeah, it's just short, sweet, 2 minutes. Yeah, that's pretty much about it. Anyway, moving on to our next track here. We're going with this past week's entry into the Adult Swim Singles program, courtesy of Ghostly International producer Matthew Deer. By the way, if you haven't been paying attention, Adult Swim recently dropped a series of Stimulus Swim compilations to help facilitate funds towards artists who have been affected by the COVID-19 pandemic, including some Ghostly International material there. So, you know, there's that.
And, of course, some Hyperdub people.
Hyperdub, too. Anyway, getting back to the song itself, called Universal Truth, it's okay. It's pretty simplistic in its productional things considered, relying on, like, basic tweeting synths and these bleep-bloop melodies that really just act as, like, a sound bed for, like, Matthew's vocal performance, which, you know, is alright. It's got an interesting kind of, like, deep voice character to it that contrasts against the lightness of the production. I mean, it doesn't really do much for me personally, but it's not awful or anything.
Yeah, I don't get much to add to this. Like, it's fine. It's fine. Like, I like the poppy, like the synth poppy shit. Like, okay, it's all right. It's like I was into it, like, for a bit, but I wouldn't say it hooked. I would say I was hooked on it. I just say it's whatever. It's 50-50.
Just about, yeah. So, anyway, time to move on to our next track here. So we have the latest episode of the ongoing Gorillaz Song Machine project, this one being a track called Friday the 13th, which features a UK rapper named Octavian. For the instrumental itself, there's a lot of dreamy ambient synths throughout, with these portions of like simplistic synthetic drums and kind of this mild bit of guitar in there, but otherwise it's kind of faded in the background. In fact, instrumentally, this kind of feels like it would be more in line with something off of Humans. And as for Octavian himself, he doesn't have a huge presence. I mean, okay, he is rapping quite a bit over the song, but his delivery is very like low-key and kind of sleepy, which, I mean, I see it working in the sense that this is instrumentally more like a sort of dreamlike lullaby kind of song, and his sleepier flow and, you know, delivery kind of works with that vibe. But I mean, when he's also like, you know, he's got some bars in here about like kind of self-destructive drug habits in there, but you don't really pick up on much of that at all. It's just kind of slurs together into like audio soup. I don't really have much else to add other than that.
Yeah, I gotta say, the song itself is, on Octavian, like, his way it did was decent. Like, I mean, I can make up maybe a bit of it once, but yeah, it's the right song. Like, I was focused on the video of him rapping and them going to tunnels, which I'm guessing, did they get fucked up? Or at least, because I see them have either a black eye, either very tired, or I think 2D got knocked the fuck out, because, I don't know, his nose bleeding, and he got his tooth knocked out, or maybe that's just him, or maybe it's just, I don't know, just had to take care of himself.
Yeah, shit happens like that.
Yeah, and I know there was one quote at the end of the video, but I'm gonna say that for, you know, the next song to pick, because, yeah.
So, moving on to the next track here. So apparently there's some group called Spillage Village, who's got a new project coming out soon called Spilligon, and we have a song here called End of Days that features a bunch of motherfuckers. Mostly Dreamville motherfuckers, but a lot of motherfuckers.
Yes, those motherfuckers are Earth Gang, Jid, and people like Jordan Bryant, Hollywood JB, and Mariba. Apparently the only person from Spillage Village missing is what do you know, Black, aka Six Lack. We ain't heard him in a while, or this much.
Thank God for that.
But yeah, when I go to the song End of Days, it's basically this very I want to say R&B like track. It's like how, like, you know, like how the deal starts, like End of Days, as in, well, we'll take a wild guess what was it about. Like, they went to all this shit happened like around the world, but some of the deep words, they think, well, within the end of days, I think one of the Earth Gang people are about, like, no, fuck it, if in the end of days, I'm gonna do some shit and live it out, like, you know, I'm a force girl, so someone, like, all that shit. But yeah, like, I think the view of someone's like they're going deep with it, thinking, you know what, I need some tranquility to get away from this shit, because it's just so messed up right now. And I noticed, like, in the video, they got that one quote from James Baldwin, which I remember by mind right now, but I know it's the same quote that we used at the end of the Gorillaz video, which. Okay, yeah, but this, I want to say it's more of a, I want to say lax vibey song, but more, you know, but that beat is some real shit, but yeah, it is what it is.
Yeah, just about. Anyway, moving on to our next track here. So, last week, when we were talking about various songs written in the wake of the various Black Lives Matter protests, our own Alex said something to the effect of, when commenting on the Menzinger song, we need less Bob Dylan and more Fever 333. Well, sir, I don't know if you have some kind of magical fucking wizard powers or something, but here we are with some Fever 333. In fact, I'm pretty sure this dropped, like, the day after we recorded that episode.
Yeah.
If not, then at least pretty damn close.
Funny how that works, huh?
So, yeah, the latest Lucy track from these lads is called Supremacy. And of course, lyrically, it is the kind of potent ferocity that you expect from the same band that wrote Made in America and Burn It, you know, about just how fucked the lives of Black Americans are because of police brutality and how, you know, fucked they get over by freaking rich whites. Everything from, you know, poverty forced in through the rich getting government handouts to fucking, like, property values with, like, rich white suburbs forcing people out into poor slums because of gentrification and shit like that. And, of course, some pretty strong lyrics, like, they keep trying to regulate my DNA, break it down into something easier to hate. They're afraid of the outcome, because the race that they call human keep evolving, and they know they will get outrun. So, yeah, every bit as strong lyrically as anything they've put out before. Too bad instrumentally this sounds like a slightly less bad 21 Pilots song.
I wouldn't go that far. That may have to do with Travis Barker having a part of the production of it, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, so interesting. We have Jason Alan Butler's wife, Jen Wigmore, singing the refrain at the start of the track, which is also a Blondie sample / interpolation, which is, you know, pretty nice. And instrumentally, this is more of a straight-to-the-point kind of song. Not as aggressive as some of the other tracks, but it's still pretty solid, and I have a few interesting bars that are just always timely. The neighborhood fucked up, got us sending letters to the president. Tell me, can you hear us through the sounds of the sirens, and you're wondering why the street's getting violent. Another mother shedding tears at the cemetery, burying a firstborn child. And then there's that ending refrain. When tide turns into history, the story that we tell repeats. When we were marching for our lives, you stood on the other side. Side note, fuck you, Brett Kavanaugh. You goddamn cockstain.
Always worth it to say fuck you, Brett Kavanaugh.
And shut the fuck up, Tommy Lauren. Nobody's listening to your bullshit.
Because
she likes to just intrude on things that she doesn't know a damn thing about. Because, you know, rich blonde white women are all the old people's rage. Or I'm just mangling my words. Either way, these people suck. Don't listen to them. Get out of your bubbles.
Or, you know, at the very least, have the decency to shit your pants like the other popular blonde white chick. At least then we can make fun of you for that, too. But anyway, time to move on to our last couple of tracks here. So, we've been paying attention to the Acacia Strain camp ever since, well, pretty much since they shadow dropped a new album in December of 2019. And they've been steadily keeping at it with a series of 2-song EPs, each named after just an individual letter. We had D, we had E, we had C, we had A, and dropping most recently, you know, finally completing the image and the word here, Y. So now we have a series of releases that spell out the word DK, and along with this most recent batch of tracks, the announcement that we are getting a new full-length Acacia Strain project July 24th called Slow Decay, which will of course feature the 5 2-song EPs along with a couple of unreleased cuts. So, yeah, talk about, you know, piecemeal releasing and I don't know, I'm not sure I understand the business model here, but we might as well talk about the 2 new songs that they put out here. The first of these is called 1,000 Painful Stings. And it opens up with these very slow, pummeling grooves before bringing the D beats and the double kick along with that really chugging, down-tuned guitar riff, you know, slowing down eventually to this just pure deathcore grooving essence, especially with the as it's emphasized with the pounding right cymbal clinking. You just feel like the heaviness of it all. And of course, the lyrics are that typical nihilism to the point of absurd, with lines like, "We have given ourselves an eternity of nothing, infinite stretching and arching to nowhere. We called, no one answered, total fucking failures. We tried to claw up into heaven, but we fell into hell." And then, speaking of decay, there's the other track, Earth Will Become Death, which is even slower in its tempos. Literally, having listened to tracks here, that really does sound like the sound is just decaying and falling apart as you're listening. Really slow, menacing tempo with meaty chord chugging and the droning of those low-end note bends and those uneasy melodies. And of course, to quote some choice lyrics, "We fell out of love with the world we used to know. Earth will become death. The only thing harder than saying goodbye to yourself is saying goodbye to the ones you loved. Good to know someone else thinks shit is every bit as fucked as I do.
Yeah, well, if you wanted a soundtrack to the end of the world, this might just do the trick. It's methodical and plotting and just as darkly heavy as one such soundtrack should be. While also kind of sounding Whitechapel-y. Is that just me? Am I the only one hearing that?
Well, I mean, you know, late 2000s, early 2010s deathcore, it all kind of melts together, so.
Yeah, fair enough. Fair enough.
So, yeah, that basically covers all the new song discussions. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we have the news, so stay tuned. And we're back. So, first up on the docket here, a group I haven't had to think about in a long ass time. So, Lady Antebellum. They've been in the news recently after they made the rather notable decision to change their name. In the light of the various Black Lives Matter protests that have been going on in the past month or so, obviously, do you really want to be going around touring with a name that has, various connotations to, you know, the Civil War, the Antebellum South. Yeah, you don't want to be associated with all that stuff. So, yeah, the group had been, well, it's never been a huge controversy, but apparently it's been something that's been discussed in country music circles for a while that they should change their name. But finally, here we are, we finally reached the head, and the group has officially decided that they're going to start calling themselves Lady A.
Wait, what?
Okay. Well, that would be nice, but there's just one teeny kind of big problem with that.
There's already a Lady A.
Oh.
And you want to know what the kicker is? The Lady A in question is a 61-year-old Black soul singer who has been in the game for at least 20 years.
Ooh. Yeah, that, whoops.
Yeah, can you call yourself, maybe just call yourself, I don't know, the band A or some shit.
And surprise, surprise, nobody contacted this woman about it.
Nope, not at all. And just for another kick in the teeth, apparently Lady A was releasing a live album, was planning to release a live album July 18th, so... Yeah, way to fuck things up for this woman, you dicks.
Once again, the white people taking what they don't belong to. Or something.
Yeah. It always just be like that.
Yep. It's always...
Like you never...
Always.
You never learn your lesson.
Nope, and we're still not learning the lesson because we are a very stupid, stubborn species.
Indeed. But anyway, speaking of stubbornness, so COVID-19.
Yeah, that's still a thing.
Take us to New Zealand, please.
Yeah, because they're probably going to at least have like concerts and festivals in some capacity.
And rugby matches!
Yeah, imagine how fucked things are when you unironically start looking forward to rugby. Because Lord knows we're not getting any shit of that sort in the States, because in the most recent wake of COVID-19 cancellation-related announcements, looks like Coachella 2020, which originally got updated from April to October, had gotten canceled, and it's now going to possibly only be happening in 2021, with an extremely, possibly limited following, you know, attendance and shit like that. Yeah, so for all you rich kids that were looking to spending your time listening to Rage Against the Machine tell you how full of shit you are, you're probably going to have to wait until next year.
Yeah, this also has more of an industry effect as well, because Entertainment Group, or AEG, the parent company of Coachella, because as we all know, it's a brand, which means everything about it is bullshit, is laying off 15% of its workforce, furloughing over 100 of its employees, and putting in pay cuts of 20 to 50%.
Well,
okay then.
Yeah, because as we all know, nothing is more important than the economy. Hey, everybody in Florida, Georgia, and Arizona, your governors are trying to kill you. Get out while you still can.
If only. Lord knows, trying to find the resources to leave is a bitch and a half. But, yeah, to those motherfuckers, you know, given that apparently the parent company of Coachella has a history of donating to anti-LGBT organizations and politicians, I don't really feel bad about y'all losing money. Fuck you.
Yeah.
So, in other words, fuck them niggas.
And their couches.
Absolutely. And, speaking of festival cancellations, the other major casualty we have to deal with is, Lollapalooza. Or, if we may use the ever-traditional language of our people, la-la-la-la-la-la.
Yeah.
Which, now I think about it, wasn't that the name of the lawyer from Arrested Development?
That was Bob Blah Blah.
Same difference. But, yeah, so, it was announced by the city of Chicago that they're canceling all special events up into Labor Day, which, of course, includes Lollapalooza, Taste of Chicago, the Air and Water Show, and the Chicago Jazz Festival, in an effort to help slow the spread of COVID-19. For perspective, Lollapalooza generally draws about 100,000 people to the location of Grant Park for 4 days. And yeah, this is one of its highest grossing events for the city, so you can't really have that many people all jamming in a single place at once.
No, because unlike the aforementioned states I had mentioned in the last segment, the governor of Illinois does not want to kill all of you out there. The ones who do are the Illinois Nazis. Because it's always Illinois Nazis.
Those bastards. But, yeah, Lollapalooza is now no more until next year. Maybe. Who knows what the play's gonna still look like at this point. So, bleh. Anyway, moving on to the next topic here. Speaking of topics that are incredibly bleak, last year's Grammy Awards. Or was it this year's Grammy Awards? I don't remember. Just... Yeah, when there was all that fun controversy where it turns out that everybody involved in the Recording Arts Academy is a bunch of dildos. But you can just go listen to those episodes. You know the details by now. With, of course, one of the most spectacular highlights being not just the great live performance from Tyler, the Creator, but when he explicitly called out the Academy for their usage of the term urban as, pretty much in his words, just a politically correct way of singling out black artists in a way that feels really alienating from the rest of the categories. But let it be known that as of the past week or so, the Recording Academy announced that it will no longer use the term urban in its awards terminology for the rap fields and stuff. So, yeah, the Best Urban Contemporary Album has been renamed Best Progressive R&B Album, and Best Rap Song Performance as well has been renamed to Best Melodic Rap Performance. Unfortunately, I don't think they went all the way, because Latin Pop Album has been renamed Latin Pop or Urban Album, which, you know, kind
of
seems like it's...
Okay, did DC is going to get rid of it? I don't know. It's like... I guess
urban is okay when it's Latinos.
Damn. Okay, that's...
Yeah, it's a step, I think, but the kicker of this is, do you know who we have to thank for this?
Who, may I ask?
Billie Eilish.
Oh.
Let me explain. Now, we all know what happened when Tyler, the Creator, basically dropped all pretense and said, your show sucks, fix it. And then immediately after, nothing happened. Wouldn't you know it, just a couple of days before this whole thing happened with the Grammys, Billie Eilish came out in support of what Tyler, the Creator said. And wouldn't you know it, all of a sudden, here we are. Might be a coincidence, might not be. I'm just saying, thank you, Billie Eilish. If you could do a little more, you know, to weed out all the assholes at the Recording Academy, we would appreciate it. You have the clout, you can do it. We believe in you.
Okay, I say it is a bit of, it is a step up. I wonder what the name of the, like, the formerly urban guitar, now it's now progressive R&B, which, okay, so it's prog R, so it's prog R&B?
I guess that's a thing now.
It's gonna be a thing now. It's gonna be a thing now. And you know what? I'll say a lot of rap performance kinda makes sense considering most rap, you hear people sing rap shit now. Like, that's, I kinda get that. I kinda get that. And I always call the urban contemporary album the category just R&B-ish, cause that's what that mostly is, R&B-ish. But it's a step up. It's like, okay, although you kind of fucked up with the Latin categories. It's like, they're just kind of fucked up. And also, looking at the best new artist eligibility, it's like it's saying, like, at the best new artist thing, it says, there's no longer a maximum number of least prohibiting artists from entering the best new artist category. As such, as the screening committees will be charged with turn whatever the artist had entertained the breakthrough or permanent prize at as really year. Since it's, I don't know why I read that. It's just, I guess they gotta add more or something. I don't know.
It's all legalese at the end of the day.
Yeah, and I guess the urban thing kind of worked on Republic Records as a racist, because like they said they'll cease using the urban category on their site, like, considering Republic, I think they signed the week people like The Weeknd, and I guess Drake, he's on there too. I don't know. Like, I guess something's stepping up. I guess.
Yeah, it's a step. Now, if only we can get a step for the rock category so that we don't have Aerosmith for the 70th time on stage, or a crappy trap rock album getting 3 nominations, that would be appreciated, because January 31st, Joe, next Grammys Awards show, and God willing, it will not be as bad as this year's was.
Mm. Oh, God. Imagine if the plague still lasts into 2021. We're going to have to see a socially distanced Grammy Awards.
Oh, no.
I'm not going to lie, that'll be the most interesting thing that the ceremony has done in at least a decade.
I mean, so in other words, we got to storm in there, but it's like, no way, we can't do that shit, damn it.
We could always wear, you know, hazmat suits, just storm in there ourselves, looking like Monster Zinc or some shit.
Literally, Academy, everybody get out now, get out now. And that's the plan. You two control the rock metal categories, I'll take over the hip-hop ones. We'll take turns doing the pop shit or electronic shit.
We'll see you there.
Yeah. Oh, and speaking of awards, the VMAs are planning to do their show this year at the Barclays Center in Brooklyn, and let me just say...
Wait, hold up.
Yeah, a report came out from Variety a couple weeks ago that said that the VMAs, they're planning to do their show this year from Brooklyn, which, no, that's not happening.
That is the level of optimism that I aspire to have one day.
No, that's just not going to happen. Mostly because Bill de Blasio wants to kill all of you as well, and his daughter, because he's a spineless fucking coward.
Hashtag fuck de Blasio. But, I mean, that goes without saying.
Yeah, well, New York's still, I don't know, shit, I don't know anything anymore.
Everything is fucked.
Yes, everything. Anyway, time to move on to our last subject here. Speaking of things being fucked and COVID-19, so Metallica had some pretty big plans for this summer as far as their festival touring schedule. The keyword here being had. But those plans are obviously no longer coming to fruition. But that doesn't mean there isn't any activity going down the Metallica pipeline, because it looks like this August, we will in fact be getting a box set of SNM2.
Yay! Finally!
Yeah, because I didn't get to see it in fucking theaters.
Yeah, of all places, this was announced on an episode of Jimmy Kimmel Live, where Mr. Ulrich was talking to a super fan of the band, an ICU nurse from Long Island, Tracy Bednar, and promptly decided to not only show off this new box set, but give her the first known copy of the box set.
Ah.
It's coming out, yeah, it's coming out in August, and that's pretty much all we know about it. We haven't had any full details come out as of yet, but I can assume, based on what this band does, there will be a vinyl version, a CD version, a DVD, and a Blu-ray, maybe 4K Blu-ray, I'm crossing my fingers. And as Mr. Ulrich said at the start of one of their Metallica Monday quote-unquote streams, which is just them airing older concerts every week, this will have a new audio mix, and it will have a new video mix, so to speak. It'll be re-edited for the home video release, which means it will look different from the theatrical release, which I'm kind of into because there were some inconsistencies with the visuals and the audio wasn't quite fully mixed. I don't blame them because they mixed the whole thing in like, what, 2-3 weeks? So, you know, whatever. Either way, give it to me! I need it!
Yes, we'll just have to wait until the full details come out. Possibly sometime next month. I wouldn't put it past them. You know, get the hype going a month ahead of time. Or 2 months ahead of time, I guess, technically, but you know what I mean. Anyway, that basically about does it for the news. So we have one last thing to touch on here, and that's the new album releases for the week of June 19th, 2020. Starting at the top, there is, unfortunately, a new Mushroomhead album, A Wonderful Life. Doubt it's wonderful. The much-anticipated new self-titled album from Lamb of God. We have the new Haken album, Virus, dropping the day before on June 18th. We have the newest album for Protest the Hero, Palimpsest. They literally announced that the day we're recording this. There's a new Bob Dylan project, Rough and Rowdy Ways. And unfortunately, and this is not a typo, I had to put that there out of a seeming obligation, there's a new Black Eyed Peas album coming out this Friday called Translation.
Huh?
Wait, what?
It has a Wikipedia page. It has a track list. It has official album art. Yeah.
Okay.
That's, huh.
Yeah.
This is gonna be a hot mess, isn't it?
Oh, I wish, because then at least that would make it interesting. Which Black Eyed Peas never really were. Anyway, now to clean house and get the hell out of here. So, Alex, where can they find you on the internet?
For the time being, somewhere. Or of Azure. Discord, maybe? I pop up in there more often now to talk with the people who I know. Because everything continues to suck, and I don't want to die.
Yeah. So, Mark, what about you?
Well, Twitter, kind of, maybe. I mean, I just do a lot of retweeting stuff about, important shit, and often normal shit, like either be world form, and, you know, but yeah. And, like, and on my site, my 91@WordPress.com, hopefully I'll put something up there this week, if I got the willpower to do it.
Yep. Anyway, as for me, you can find me on Twitter, Instagram, CuriousCat at Rob Barracuda. Email me Robert@SuperResolution.com for questions, comments, concerns, and inquiries. Subscribe to the podcast on Google Play and iTunes. New audio-only episodes go up every Wednesday. Video highlights usually go up on the YouTube channel on weekends, so subscribe, hit the bell tab whenever anything goes up there. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at SuroRezzo, like us on Facebook, visit the website SuroResolution.com for written reviews, this podcast, podcast, O&A, all that good stuff. Be sure to jump into our Discord chat so you can shitpost very spicy memes. And of course, shout out to the producer, Mr. E, for graciously letting me use his music for this podcast. Links to his shit down in the description. Well, thank you for joining us this week. We'll of course be back next week with the usual nonsense. And until then, God, this plague is fucking stupid. I'm just kidding.